Lisa and Pete would love to give you $5,000 to go travelling with. However, the best they can do is this podcast. But if you buy land with LWP, you'll score a $5,000 travel voucher. Find out more at lwppropertygroup.com.au.
Perth's own Lisa and Pete here for LWP Property Group. And tonight at 6, the public forum about the Perth Freight Link at Freo Town Hall kicks off, but it's sold out. So we're having our own little mini forum, if you will. Scott Ludlam from the Greens and one of our favourite comedians and authors, Ben Elton, joins us. Hello, guys.
Hey there.
Hello.
Now, talk to us about the Perth Freight Link and why it's a bad idea.
For your listeners, just so you know, the Fremantle Perth Link is an effort to connect supposedly Perth's industrial heartlands with Fremantle Harbour by driving 6 lanes of toll traffic way through various communities and environmentally sensitive areas. But they don't actually say what happens about it when it gets to the Swan River and the Stirling Highway. Now, not everyone's going to know that geography, but let me tell you, it will turn the whole of Fremantle into a vast truck stop. But my issue really is that Fremantle, like every 19th century port, is no longer fit for being a 21st century container port. The idea that Fremantle, which was a port built in a town, because in those days you needed a town in a port, because ports employed thousands of workers. Now ports employ 3 people to turn on the computerized crane, and the boats that come in with a city's worth of imported goods have got about 4 people in the crew. So that's why you don't need towns around ports anymore. And the idea that you can expand 19th century ports indefinitely to fulfil the needs of a 21st century community is absolute madness.
Well, I have to say, and I'm a little embarrassed to say it, that I don't know much about the Perth Freight Link. And here it is, you know, upon us. But that's surely got to be the first red flag that goes up. Clearly there's been a little consultation with anyone outside of the area, and probably not much within people within the area either.
Yeah, well, the government, state and federal, have refused to hand over even really basic information about why they're doing it, what it's for. And, you know, my interest is as a local as well. I grew up around Bibra Lake, and it's a really, really precious part of the world. But also from a public policy point of view, you'd be smarter pushing $1.5 billion into a pile and setting fire to it.
Right.
It's a catastrophic waste of taxpayers' money, given the urgent need for infrastructure in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So the release of this information, there is absolutely no, are there no plans? Is there no opportunity to see what developments into the future with the Freight Link will actually look like? Is it all just...
They don't know. The government doesn't know. I've never seen a project with this kind of price tag attached to it where they won't even release the route alignments. And now they've made up this idea about, oh, maybe it'll be a tunnel. And what happens when it gets to Freo? Oh, we don't know.
And they've been saying that, oh, don't worry, all you local residents who are going to have a 6-lane highway built through all your houses. It'll at least relieve the pressure on the roads that you already have where the trucks are servicing Fremantle Port. But now the roads people, the federal or the local roads, whatever, the authority concerned, have admitted that they're reckoning 40% leakage of all the truck is thinking, I don't want to pay this toll and I don't want to be in this new queue. Because let's face it, all roads become traffic jams. We know that.
Yeah.
So these new 6 lanes will eventually be stalled like every other road in the world is, and the truckers will be finding a way through the rat runs, as inevitably they will, because they've got a job to do.
Where do you see Fremantle going in sort of the next sort of 10 years?
What the government's proposing is to surround it with concrete and shipping containers. So that's likely to kill the town even harder. I think the council, the current Freo Council, are doing a really good job around economic vitalisation, because the town is partly being killed by giant shopping centres surrounded by car parks that are just easier to drive to. So we would say good public transport links into Freo, bring more people in. So not development that trashes the heritage, but that basically brings more people into the middle of town and revive the economy that way. I live in North Fremantle. We are starting to see that happen now.
Yeah, it's interesting. North Fremantle Village really is becoming more vibrant. We are living in a sort of coffee shop economy now. I mean, people are opening them and they're kind of fun, and as long as they can make them viable, it's brilliant. I mean, don't forget, what's happening in Fremantle is happening in every town around the world. I mean, basically, people aren't going shopping. And the combination of major shopping centres with the car access, which Scott just mentioned, and the fact that people are basically sat at home doing their commerce on the net is making the high street, the old idea. Youngsters see the idea of a high street as a very strange concept because their high streets are in cyberspace. And that is a very, very big challenge for modern communities.
I'm certainly no economist, but I do know that it feels to me like Fremantle is one of the last bastions of that, you know, beautiful culture and history that we have here. And I'd hate to see it get any more of a dent in it. So good luck tonight.
It's not just a dent. It's six lanes on either side.
Six lanes on either side.
Solid jam traffic.
I'd hate to see it ruined, definitely.
Mm. All right, Scott Ludlam, thank you.
Thanks.
Ben Elton, thank you.
Thanks a lot. It's been really good of you to have us in.
A pleasure. We'll keep an eye across this on Lisa and Pete and see how it progresses. It's our Perth. We care about it.
That's right.
Now, look, last night I went to Nobu, and it was my mum's birthday, but I got the gift as far as I'm concerned. She ended up footing the bill.
Yeah, by the way, how did she enjoy the pie pan that you bought her?
What
you
are
bought
you
her,
talking
you
about?
You bought her a flan to make apple pie in.
Don't go me this.
She thinks that was a present for you.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
true.
Here, Mum, here's a pie pan because you make such lovely pies and I just want to remember my childhood all the time.
I love you, mate. You're the best.
No, I can't
but
wait.
But
anywho, we're talking about on 1333.53, what do your parents still pay for? We've got Gaz in Edgewater. G'day,
Hi,
mate.
Gaz.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What are Mum and Dad still paying for?
Well, my mum's a bit of a legend. She always gives us pasta bakes and lasagnas almost weekly just to keep us going with food in the freezer.
Awesome.
She gives me and my wife and my three kids all $50 each for every birthday they have.
Awesome.
But
yeah.
She also, for the last 15 years, has paid my life insurance policy.
What?
You're kidding.
Yeah. No. Oh.
Why? Can we ask why? Is that okay? Because
it's totally
he's a good boy.
No, she just wants to look after us, you know, be like beyond the grave kind of thing. So,
oh, that's beautiful.
He's a champion.
What's your mum's name, Gaz? Give her a shout out.
Her name's Di.
Good on you, Di.
Good on you, Di.
Thanks, Gaz.
Thanks, Gaz.
No,
we got Steph in Alexander Heights. Hi, Steph.
Hey, Steph. Hi, guys.
Mum and Dad still paying for stuff?
Yeah, my dad actually, I'm 44 years old. I have a 20-year-old son.
Yeah.
My dad still gives me pocket money every week.
Oh my God. I love that.
Can we ask how much? Is that rude?
No, it's not rude. It's $40 in an envelope and I get love, Mum and Dad.
Oh, Steph.
Why?
I've totally gone all goozy. That is gorgeous. I love it.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Steph, that is such a, it's such an exact figure though. Why $40?
I don't know, but hey, I'm going
yours
with it.
Yours is not to argue.
Yeah,
yours is just to open the envelope. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, we've got the best parents out there.
Don't we just? Hey, Perth and WA parents. Yo, Beauté. Love yous.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talk and Telly, this is Justin Hamilton. Talk and Telly.
Hello.
How I've finally had the opportunity to watch the new Australian TV series Glitch. Mm. It's been on the ABC for a couple of weeks now, and for anyone who likes to binge watch, you can go to iView and actually watch all of the episodes, which I think is a really good move by iView to kind of set up that Netflix kind of model, I guess. And I have to say, it's so great to see another Australian show that has some real ambition. Mm-hmm. And it starts off, for anyone who's not across this, it starts off one night when six people return to life from the dead. And this isn't the shambling, walking the dead, dehydrated zombie type of return, though. You know what this is? This is more the type of, oh, I had 11 tea Bacardi breezes last night and I just woke up in a graveyard type of deal. You know that thing? So they're kind of looking all right. They're just a little bit spaced out. So we enter with Sergeant James Hayes, who's played by the fantastic Patrick Bramall, who not only has to deal with this outbreak of spontaneous life, but he also has to deal with the fact that one of the six people who have returned from the dead is his wife, who died 2 years ago. So cue the Twilight Zone music.
Quite a surprise.
We've seen him doing a lot of comedy of late, but what people kind of probably don't realise is he's very good at playing vulnerable. Mm. And because vulnerability works in comedy, and so taking it in a more dramatic bent really suits him. I think the director, Emma Freeman, has done a great job with the setting for this series. It really makes some of those small towns look eerie and uninviting. It's a little bit like A Country Practice meets Michael Jackson's Thriller. That's the feeling. If Fatso the Wombat returns from the dead, I'm calling Shane Porteous immediately. Let's get on to this. is. It looks amazing. The woman that plays his wife is the fantastic actress Emma Booth. The acting across the board is great. And it's fantastic seeing Andrew McFarlane again. I haven't seen him perform for a while. He's been such an excellent actor for a long time. And what's good is they've not only got him in this series, his role is a really kind of cool, juicy one as well. Mm-hmm. So seeing him perform was fantastic. I think the hard thing for the show to do looking forward will be to nail the ending, you know, because once you set up a mystery, you have to resolve it in a way that keeps the audience from not feeling like they've wasted their time. And it's hard because if you go too supernatural, it can maybe be a little bit too silly. And then if you leave it open-ended, people feel like there's a lack of closure. But the first two episodes that I've watched have been fantastic. I think the twist at the end of the first one is a corker, like a real up there with your American and English TV shows. And one of those twists that you go, oh, well, I have to see how this plays out. And as I said, you can go and watch all of the episodes on iView. But when I really like a TV show, I just want to take my time.
Yeah.
And I want to think about it week to week. So I'll be honest, though, it's been hard not to just, oh, maybe I'll just go and check out the third episode.
Well, there's just six. You know, it's not
There's
too many.
Just six. Yeah. Glitch ABC Thursday, 8:30 PM. Two thumbs hitching a ride back to the light.
With a $5,000 travel voucher from LWP, you could go pretty much anywhere in the world. Better yet, you can take this podcast of Lisa and Pete with you. Find out more at lwpropertygroup.com.au.